The Firehouse Follies is on the air! Good afternoon and welcome to Leftover Turkeys, the Firehouse Follies winter radio variety show extravaganza, coming to you live from the Ivy Tech John Waldron Auditorium. Today's show features Michael Smith, an incredible songwriter who is joining us on his way back to his home in Chicago, and singer and songwriter Art Heckman, who sort of wandered into the show on his way home and decided to stay and warm up for a while. We also have our own gospel girls. The hardworking Firehouse Rounders. Arbutus Cunningham. The Unusual Suspects radio acting troupe. And the award-winning Mr. Tony Brewer on sound effects. We're sponsored today by Ivy Tech Community College, the Bloomington Arts Commission, and Cordell Construction, with special support from Fiddlin' Joe Enterprises, who reminds you that Christmas is coming, and if there's anyone in your circle of family or friends who still doesn't have a Fiddlin' Joe rotary dial cell phone, well, now's the time to do something about it. I'm the G-Man. Welcome now. Thank you. Thank you. Please welcome now the WFHB Gospel Girls, Mr. Art Heckman, and our Firehouse Rounders.
The name of the place,
I like it like that.
Come on,
come on, let me show you where it's at.
Come on,
come on, let me show you where it's at.
Come on,
come on, let me show you where it's at.
The name of the place,
I like it like that.
They got little plays down the track. The name of the place, I like it like that. Now you take Sally, and I'll take Sue, and we're gonna rock away all our blues. Come on,
come on, let me show you where
oh, yeah.
it's at.
Come on,
come on, let me show you where
oh,
it's at.
Come on,
come on, let me show you where it's at.
The name of the place,
I like it like that.
The last time I was down, they lost my shoes. They had some cat shouting the blues. The people was shouting and yelling for more, and all they kept saying was, go man, go, come on.
Come on, let me show you where
oh,
it's at.
Come on.
Come on, let me show you where
ah,
it's at.
Come on.
Come on, let me show you where it's at.
The name of the place,
I like it like that.
Come on.
Come on, let me show you where it's at.
Come on.
Come on, let me show you where
ah,
it's at.
Come on.
Come on, let me show you where it's at.
The name of the place,
I like it like that.
The name of the place,
I like it like that.
There's a crazy little shack beyond the tracks, and everybody calls it the Sugar Shack. Well, it's just a coffee house, and it's made out of wood. Espresso coffee tastes mighty good, but that's not the reason I've got to get back to that Sugar Shack. Oh, baby, to that Sugar Shack. There's a little cutie girl, she's working there. A black leotard and her feet are bare. I'm gonna drink a lot of coffee, spend a little cash, make that girl love me when I put out some trash. You can understand why I've got to get back to that Sugar Shack. Oh baby, to that Sugar Shack. Yeah, honey, to that Sugar Shack. Oh yeah, to that Sugar Shack. Now that Sugar Shack queen is married to me. we just sit around and dream of old memories. One of these days we're gonna lay down tracks in the direction of that sugar shack. Just me and her, yeah, we're gonna go back to that sugar shack. Oh, baby, back to that sugar shack. Yeah, honey, to that sugar shack. Yeah, honey, to that sugar shack.
Thank you.
Well, we've been through Gray Thursday and Black Friday and Small Business Saturday. We've got Cyber Monday coming up. It's just nice to see so many of you here for this new tag day, Super Silliness Sunday. And now it's time to meet our two most notable leftover turkeys, Richard Gobbledygook Fish and Colonel Mike Goes Well in Sandwiches, Kelsey. Well, they should be here. They're supposed to be here anyway. Tony Brewer, call them, please. Oh, I think they heard that one. That got their attention.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for coming out today and joining us for a little live radio and some good, clean fun.
Richard?
Yes, Colonel, what is it?
Richard, could you tell me again why we're wearing these turkey suits?
Well, I thought we'd gone over that, Mike. Paul Simon was on Saturday Night Live once in a turkey suit, and everyone loved it. It was hilarious. Now, trust me on this, Colonel. These turkey suits are wonderful. The audience loves them, don't you, folks?
Well, I'm just worried. I'm worried that people are going to think that I'm on the city council.
Well, you know, when people hear all the jokes in this script, there will be people who think that. Now, why don't you introduce right now our special guest?
That would be a pleasure. And as I would like for you to make welcome from Chicago, Illinois, a man who Rolling Stone magazine has called the greatest songwriter in the English language, and I concur, Mr. Michael Smith.
Gas was 11 cents a gallon around the time of Burns and Allen, way before Jimmy Fallon. I remember when gas was 11 cents a gallon, you had fish on Friday, you had to wear a tie to go to school. You also had to get a crew cut as soon as it was summer, man. It certainly was a bummer, man. You couldn't look dumber, you had to get a crew cut as soon as it was summer. If you didn't, your grandpa would say, "Where's your damn violin?" When the stars got divorced, you couldn't go to their movies. No matter how groovy, you had to say no to their movies. When the stars got divorced, you couldn't go to their movies. No matter how fun, especially if they'd ever played a nun. In case they see, that was when the Russians were gonna take us over. Parsippany, Dover, asphyxiate Rover. All the girls would have to change their names to Anna Pavlova. If you were a guy, you were gonna have to change your name to Ivan. Joe McCarthy went on TV with a list of godless commies. Thank God your dad and mom weren't on his list of godless commies. You hoped he hadn't heard about your liberal Uncle Tommy, who voted for FDR and joined a union once. In case they dropped the atom bomb, you practiced hiding beneath your desk, never finding it grotesque, hiding underneath your desk. In case they dropped the atom bomb, you practiced hiding beneath your desk, and every once in a while, you'd adopt a little pagan child, who for just a dime a week would get a Catholic education in that pagan foreign nation, a Catholic education. He'd give up devil worship, give up masturbation, have fish on Friday, have to wear a tie to go to school. Whatever happened to all those little pagan children? Isn't it bewildering, all those little pagan children? Whatever happened to all those little pagan kids? They never write, they never call. After we put them through DePaul, God bless them one and all. Finally, of course, God bless them one and all the little pagan children. God bless them one and all. Everybody, God bless them one and all. God bless them one and all the little pagan children. God bless them one and all. The Dutchman's not the kind of man to keep his thumb jammed in the dam that holds his dreams in. But that's a secret only Margaret knows. When Amsterdam is golden in the morning, Margaret brings him breakfast. Believes him. He thinks the tulips bloom beneath the snow. He's mad as he can be, but Margaret only sees that sometimes. Sometimes she sees her unborn children in his eyes. Let us go to the banks of the ocean, where the walls rise above the Zuider Zee. Long ago, I used to be a young man, and dear Margaret remembers that for me. The Dutchman still wears wooden shoes, his cap and coat patched with love that Margaret sewed in. Sometimes he thinks he's still in Rotterdam. He watches tugboats down canals and calls out to them when he thinks he knows. Till Margaret comes to take him home again through unforgiving streets that trip him, though she holds his arm. Sometimes he thinks he's alone and calls her name. Let us go to the banks of the ocean, where the walls rise above the Zuider Zee. Long ago, I used to be a young man, and dear Margaret remembers that for me. The windmills weld the winter and she winds his muffler tighter. They sit in the kitchen. Some tea with whiskey keeps away the dew. He sees her for a moment, calls her name. She makes the bed up, humming some old love song. She learned it when the tune was very new. He hums a line or two. They hum together in the night. The Dutchman falls asleep and Margaret blows the candle out. Let us go to the banks of the ocean, where the walls rise above the Zuider Zee. Long ago, I used to be a young man. Dear Margaret remembers that for me.
I was 16. All music sounded like this. That was fine with me. That fateful night, the train hit the car, killed my baby. Broke my guitar when I was worshiping in the church of my choice. I thought I heard my baby's voice, and she said, go on with your career. Don't worry about me, dear. I'm up here in teenage heaven with your guitar.
Thank you very much.
Michael Smith. Oh, wow. He is terrific.
And he'll be back later on in the show.
Definitely.
And
oh, yeah.
So, Richard.
Yes.
Did you read this memo from our station management here? Content limitations and considerations for present and future broadcast of the Firehouse Follies, with special attention to the ramifications of violations of the policies contained herein.
I didn't get past the title, Colonel Kelsey. But I don't think we really have much to worry about. I mean, most of the content there we're talking about there has to do with, like, politics and sex and religion and other offensive material.
You mean we're going to have to drop the joke about the priest, the rabbi, and the preacher who met in the lobby of a famous house of ill repute that's being run by one of the local political parties?
Yeah, I'm sorry about that, but I'm afraid that'll have to go. But, you know, really, come on, we don't have that many jokes about religion or sex.
Well, it still bothers me that the station has created a PC enforcement committee.
Oh, yeah. Well, hey, oh, that reminds me. I think I forgot to tell you that there's a representative from that committee here this afternoon to monitor the show. Her name's Julie Martin.
Julie Martin? Is she any relation to Judith Martin, otherwise known as Miss Manners?
Actually, she's Miss Manners' evil twin. She's a lot more aggressive than her sister.
How could we ever please somebody like that?
Oh, well, here she comes now. Maybe she can reassure you.
Listen up, you turkeys. You run a good, clean show here with no offensive content. And we're all friends, right? But if you cross into the borderline of unacceptable content, I will be down on you like a bucket of giblet gravy.
That sounds fair. Now, don't we have some music coming up?
Well, yeah, there's supposed to be a little folk music celebration about here in the show. That should be safe. It's folk music, and it's been around for years.
Okay.
We'll start with Mr. Art Heckman here.
Right.
If the river was whiskey and I was a duck, I'd dive to the bottom and I'd never come up. Tell me how long do I have to wait? Can I get you now? Or must I hesitate? And if the river was whiskey and the branch was wine, you'd see me in bathing most any old time. So tell me how long do I have to wait? Can I get you now? Or must I hesitate?
Okay, that's enough. Stop the music. You can't do songs like that. They encourage lewd and lascivious conduct.
But it's an old song. People have been singing that song for years since Charlie Poole first recorded it.
Charlie Poole? Don't you realize what an undesirable creep that guy was? He once hit a deputy sheriff over the head with a banjo.
Sounds like a good way to tune a banjo. Come on, Mike. Don't we have something a little bit less racy?
Well, we had something by the Gospel Girls.
Okay.
It's an old standard. Try that.
All righty.
I ask my love to take a walk, just a little walk, down beside, where the rivers flow down by the banks of the Ohio.
Enough of that. We can't let you promote violence through music. You're getting real close to being pulled off the air.
Dave Golias, you got the hat for it. Can you help?
Here comes my baby dressed in white. Hey, baby, won't you stay the night? No, coke. Came all around my brain.
Look, Kelsey, I've had it about up to here with you. Alcohol, sex, drugs so far. Don't you have any songs that aren't offensive?
Now, Mike, I know she's being a bit harsh, but it's important to keep her happy. Don't you have anything that'll be safe?
Well, there is this one tune that the Gospel Girls were going to sing. It's clean.
Well, for heaven's sakes, have them do it. I mean, we're in trouble here.
Okay, take it away, girls.
Frankie and Johnny were partners. They shared everything. Frankie could play the piano, and my, how Johnny could sing. They were together, but they did no wrong. Frankie cooked dinner on Monday. Johnny washed pots and pans. Their detergent was really sustainable, and they never got dishpan hands. They were together, and they did no wrong. They went to the local cafe to have a free trade latte. They bought their food at the farmer's. farmer's market and rode their bikes all day. They were together, and this is a boy's
song. Oh. Firehouse Rounders, you got something a little less boring for us, maybe?
Preferably an instrumental with no words.
Someday it won't be someday you're gonna miss me when I'm gone.
No one to pick up your socks.
Someday you're gonna miss me when I'm gone.
Or cook your dinner.
Oh, someday, and it won't be very long. Someday you're gonna miss me when I'm gone.
Oh, you're gonna miss me.
Someday you're gonna miss me when I'm gone.
Go on to make your coffee.
Someday it won't be very long. Oh, someday you're gonna miss me when I'm gone.
Oh, you're gonna miss me.
Someday you're gonna miss me when I'm gone.
You're gonna miss me
someday.
Ginger. She wrote that. Well, it's true that you got me wrapped around your finger, and it seems to me that's just where I belong. You know how to hold me and know how to thrill me and how to control me
just enough to keep me hanging on.
Baby, you love me
just enough to keep me hanging on.
I love like a yo-yo chain. Well, I'm tied to you,
tied to you,
right or wrong. My love keeps on growing, but your love keeps on showing
just enough to keep me hanging on. Just enough to keep me hanging on.
Well, a love as true as mine will do most anything, like hide in tears and heartaches and dreaming
all those foolish dreams.
Oh, sweetheart, you got me where you want me. You keep me stringing along.
You love me just enough to keep me hanging on.
Just enough. You got me hanging on.
Just enough to keep me hanging on. Hanging
on. Oh, baby, you got me
hanging on. Just enough to keep me hanging. Hanging on, hanging on,
it
just enough to keep me hanging on.
Thank you so.
Thank you.
Our girl Sarah here is a jazz kind of gal, so we're going to do one of her husband's songs, I think.
No, I wrote this.
You wrote this?
Yep.
None of that for him, by golly. He's picking up his socks as we speak.
What a lyricist I am. I've been running all around trying to find the perfect gift for you.
Bop, shoo, wop,
Bop-shoo-wa.
I've looked inside, ooh, outside, upside down and through.
Bop-shoo-wa, bop-shoo-wa.
But my love, ooh, doesn't sing through these things the way I want it to.
Bop-shoo-wa, bop-shoo-wa.
'Cause your eyes tantalize and your lips make me crazy when you speak.
Make me crazy when you speak.
And I can't seem to answer 'cause my legs just wobble and get weak.
Just wobble and get weak.
If love is a mountain, I know I've reached the peak. Zubop doop dop doop shibbity bop doop dop dreep bop shoo bop bop shoo bop bop doop 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 doop
bop shoo bop.
My heart gets a start every time you walk up to me.
Every time you walk up to me.
And I know in my soul that that's the way it ought to be.
That's the way it ought to be.
If love is an ocean, you're the only fish I see. I've been running all around for a perfect gift, and now I know.
Bop, shoo, wop, bop, shoo, wop.
I've got paper and bows and garland and some mistletoe.
Bop, shoo, wop, bop, shoo, wop.
And I'm wrapping myself up so sweet from toes to nose. I'm a deluxe edition in mint condition. I'm an action figure on a loving mission. Been running all around trying to figure out what to do.
What to do.
And the perfect gift.
And the perfect gift.
Is me to you.
Bop, 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 shoo-wa.
The WFHB Gospel Girls.
Thanks, girls.
Ladies and gentlemen, this may come as a surprise, but despite the incredibly generous salaries paid by Fiddlin' Joe, most of the members of the Unusual Suspects radio acting troupe find it necessary to supplement their income between shows. We've suggested, unbelievable, I know, we've suggested that they sell their expensive sports cars and start eating at Wee Willie's. But no, they don't pay much attention to our ideas. Most of the troupe have opted to take part-time employment after the show money runs out, and we recently came across a treasure trove of information about their various activities in documents leaked by, you guessed it, Edward Snowden. That makes it true. We've sent the Unusual Suspects down to the John Weikart Memorial Hospitality Suite so that we can play these tapes without any danger that they will know their secrets have been compromised. So don't say anything to them, okay? It is with great pride that we bring you now these episodes of what we're sure will be a hot new radio reality series. Suspects Wars! There is no question that the most ostentatious lifestyle among the Unusual Suspects is that of Betty Greenwell. Sure, sure, she looks like a mild-mannered, sweet young thing. But trust me, when Betty's in the money, you don't want to watch.
You, waiter!
Yes, Miss Greenwell. How can I help you, Miss Greenwell? Just say the word, Miss Greenwell.
This water you brought me?
Is there a problem with the water, Miss Greenwell? It's top-of-the-line gourmet artisanal water from the wells of Martinsville, just like you ordered.
I specifically said that the water must be served at a temperature of 38.846 degrees Fahrenheit. This water is 36.286 degrees. Are you trying to kill me?
Oh, my dear me, no, of course not, Miss Greenwell.
Then change this, and be quick about it.
Oh, yes, Miss Greenwell, immediately. I'll supervise it personally, Miss Greenwell.
See that you do.
Oh, yes, Miss Greenwell. You old witch.
What's that you called me?
Oh, nothing, Miss Greenwell. I was just remarking that you're very rich.
Well, get a move on it. The way my bank account is starting to look, this may be the last bottle of decent water I get for a while. Guess I'd better go back to the second job.
When she's not yelling at waiters, Betty has a natural empathy that has made her invaluable to a company called Your Way, which specializes in voice recognition personal assistance devices for filthy rich people. Working under the professional name of Deary, Betty spends her second job being a friend to the 1%.
Hello, Mrs. Daniels. This is Deary. How can I help you today?
Oh, Deary, it's so nice to hear your voice. I miss you so much when you're gone. Look, ever since he got this job at the Ag College, Mitch has been working at being a good old boy. And he's got a bunch of important donors coming over tonight and wants to feast on Rocky Mountain oysters. Do you have any idea how to cook Rocky Mountain oysters? Ugh.
Accessing. Oh, right. Just go to teamjimmyjohn.com. There's step-by-step instructions there.
Thank you, Deary. Thank you. You're such a lifesaver. When I'm cutting them up into little bits, you can bet I'll be thinking about my husband.
As well you should, Mrs. D. Mr. Weikart, what can I do for you?
Well, you know, I'm retiring soon, and I need something to do. Now, I was thinking about taking up acting. Have you any suggestions for a good acting school?
I'd recommend Richard Fish's School of Floundering Actors.
I wonder if I'd be able to work for scale. Yeah, it's got a lure to it, for sure.
How can I help you today, Mrs. McRobbie?
Oh, Deary, Michael keeps asking me to tie his kangaroo down. Sometimes it gets pretty feisty. What knots should I be using?
Don't even think about it, Deary.
This is Deary.
Deary? This is Ken Nunn. I'm looking for someone to restore a vintage Mercedes for me. Any ideas?
Try the Yellow Pages, Mr. Nunn. There are several services listed.
The Yellow Pages? Huh, I never would have thought of that.
It's just that easy, Mr. Nunn. And could I get you to...
Hondo Thompson lives a pretty sedate life off-season. But he does enjoy fiddling with his tools in the garage and driving his super revved up Austin Martin whenever he gets the chance.
Oh, dang. I guess I better figure out where this leftover part goes. And I'm out of money for gas. Guess it's time to look for another job. I'll just check out the Herald cell phone classifieds. Oh, let's see. Ah, here we go. Wanted, members of the city rapid response team. No, I'm really not that fast anymore. Oh, hey, how about this one? Ivy Tech Community College seeks a new chancellor. No, I'd make a terrible landlord. Ah, here's one. Make a fortune in your own home. Must be a good listener. Oh, that sounds good. You know, people are always telling me what a good listener I am. Says pick up the phone and say NSA today. Well, I'll just give it a try. NSA today.
Stay on the phone, Mr. Thompson. We'll be right over.
Well, that's odd. I wonder how they know where I live.
So the agency sent a trainer to Hondo's apartment.
Well, that about covers it, Hondo. You just keep this device plugged in and listen to what people are saying. If you hear anything about terrorism, tourism, or anything else that's suspicious, press the red button.
Just press the red button. I can do that.
I'll see you later, then.
Thanks. Ah, my first call. I just plug this in here and just turn this on. Ah, oh, boy, this is great. I can hear everything.
Hello, Sasha. This is Dolores.
Dolores, it's so nice to hear from you, darling.
Isn't that cute? Just a couple old ladies catching up with each other.
So, did you get the package I sent you?
Yes, honey. The 50 pounds of gunpowder and the TNT. What? Why, it came yesterday. I'll put it in with the other stuff, and we'll have the bombs made in no time.
We'll strike at the soft underbelly of America. We'll take out Miley Cyrus while she's twerking.
Oh, yes. Long live the revolution.
Long live the revolution.
Oh, they are such sweet old ladies. It just seems wrong to be listening to them. Another call. Here we go.
Ahmed, this is Ahmed. I have made the necessary arrangements.
What's this? Middle Eastern accents. This could be bad. I better listen close.
Do you have all the money we promised?
Money? Oh, this does sound serious.
Yes, $2 million. We will give it to the hospital tomorrow for the children's cancer wing.
Oh. Praise Allah, we will be doing good work.
Clearly a couple of terrorists. Let's see, I'm supposed to push this red button right here.
Ahmed, I've got to go now. Somebody's at the door.
It's a great day to be an American.
You guys have been specifically instructed to stay away from politics. Do something funny for a change.
That's easy for you to say. You haven't seen the script. Actually, she has. Let's turn our attention to Richard Fish. You know Richard as the ultimate voice man, the guy who can sound like nearly everyone. But it might surprise you to know that he has a taste for expensive after-dinner liqueurs and fine cigars that stretches his considerable earnings from the Firehouse Follies to the max. Richard has found a job in the men's fashion business and allows him to capitalize on his legendary good looks.
Richard, get your clothes off. You're on in 5 minutes.
Sure, boss. Okay. Hand me the G-string, would you? Okay, there you go. What kind of crowd we got out there tonight?
There's a couple hundred hungry women out there, big guy. All of them hot to see the star of the show. Don't let them down. They're about to announce you.
All right.
Ladies and ladies, tonight we have, in wearing nothing but his monogrammed star-spangled G-string and a sparkly vest, it's the hunk of the airwaves, Mr. Richard Fish!
Something here for everyone. Oh, no, don't, please don't storm the runway again. Now, come on. No, don't hold out, ma'am. The bills go in the pouch, not there. Don't stop.
Hey. Some of your listeners might be eating right now. Show some respect.
And that's how our very own Richard Fish spends his downtime. And we do mean downtime. He had a rib, a collarbone, and two fingers broken the last time he was on stage.
But it was worth it. Mm.
Well, we'd like to come in here now with a word from our sponsor, Fiddlin' Joe Enterprises.
Well, there's a crazy little place beyond the tracks, and everybody calls it the Super Tats. Well, it's just a tattoo parlor, and it's made out of wood. Got body art there that's mighty good. That's just the reason I've got to get back to that Super Tats. Whoa, baby, to that Super Tats.
Friends, I know that most of you, deep down in your heart of hearts, would really like to have a big honking tattoo somewhere on your body. But you're just a little bit scared of needles.
My boyfriend loves Rand Paul, and I've always wanted to get Rand tattooed on my thigh. But the whole thought of needles just makes me faint.
Well, rest assured, you won't see a needle at Fiddlin' Joe Enterprises' great new tattoo parlor, Super Tats.
No needles?
Not a one. At Super Tats, all tattoos are applied with original vintage Old West Brandon Arns.
Won't that hurt?
Not me. Super Tats parlors are equipped with a top-of-the-line designer drugs to calm your anxieties and minimize the pain. And the best part? At Super Tats, you can get your new tattoo while you wait.
Can I get Rand Paul?
Do you have to ask? Of course you can get Rand Paul. Or Ted Cruz. Hillary Clinton. Or you could opt for one of our vintage lines. Jimmy Carter is available for peanuts right now.
Oh, thank you, Fiddle and Joe. You've saved me yet again.
It's a Fiddle and Joe venture, and it's really great. You get your tattoos branded while you wait. So real quick now, I'm gonna lay down tracks in the direction of that Super Tats to get a big spider put on my back at that Super Tats. Whoa, 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 at that Super Tats.
Super Tats.
Yeah, honey, at that Super Tats.
Super Tats.
That's Super Tats, Fiddle and Joe Enterprises Enterprise.
We return now to Unusual Suspect Wars. Many of you are probably wondering about Becky Staff. You may not know it, but she's an expert on wine and spends a good deal of her time visiting some of the hot spots of the wine world, like Brazil, Indiana, Old Joe, Arkansas, and Hell, Michigan, where she is valued as a knowledgeable collector and a person willing to spend the big bucks on a good wine.
How is this one, Miss Staff? Hmm? We like to think it is our best Pommes Noir in our entire line. Would you care to sniff the cork?
Oh, yes. Hmm. Interesting bouquet. Very fruity, very nice, nice. The tannins were a bit starchy, but still very good. Very good. What grapes did you use?
We do not have grape vines in Hell, Michigan, Miss Staff. So we improvise.
Improvise? What did you use?
Potatoes!
Potatoes?
And some crab apples for the fizz.
Potatoes?
Yes, of course. That is why it is called Pommes Noir.
Oh, right. You must have Pinot envy. I'll have six cases.
Six cases.
Oh, yes, six cases.
Oh, Miss Staff, it is $137.98 a bottle, Miss Staff. Plus tax, Miss Staff.
Yes, yes, I know. Please do not judge me. Domestic wines are always cheaper, but you have to drink what you love, and I much prefer those wines from Hell.
Oh, but of course, Miss Staff.
Please get it ready.
Absolutely.
And I have cash today.
Oh, very nice.
Ah.
With that kind of outlay, Becky runs out of her Follies cash fairly quickly. When she does, she puts on her tights and hood and assumes her identity as the most feared woman in all of professional wrestling, Elaine of Terror.
Okay, you scumbags. Elaine is back. And she's ready to kick some butt. I know what you say about me when I'm not around. Come on, come on, say it to my face, you tall person.
Elaine, you're such a pansy, you can fight your way out of a wet paper bag.
Oh, yeah! You take that, you... And now for the body slam, you... Oh, I got you now.
Let's move on now to Brian Roberts. He leads a fairly simple lifestyle, other than the money he spends on computer gaming and his specially designed, customized, zircon-encrusted XYZ box. When it's time for him to go to work, he reports to Petey's Pet Primping Parlor, a local business that exercises animals for busy owners and helps keep them clean and well-dressed.
Hey, boss, it's me again. Got any jobs for me today?
Brian, been expecting you. Hmm. There's a bunch of stuff going on.
Oh, good.
You need to tie Michael McRobbie's kangaroo down.
Whoa.
Hey, no more kangaroo jokes. You could cause an international incident.
Okay, and John Weikart needs to sell his whole herd of suburban deer for retirement income, so you'll have to do a full clean and bathe on those.
Ugh.
But first, take Tom Crean's praying mantis out for a walk.
Oh, great, great. I love taking Bobby out for a walk. He's such a babe magnet. All right, come on, Bobby, come on. You want to go for a little walkie? You want to climb a tree or another tree or maybe a bush or you want to just kind of, oh. Oh, hey, I got a text message here. Let's get this out. Oh, ooh, it's from the XYZ Box people. They have a new model with silver inlays. Ooh, man, I got to have it. I got to have it. I got to have it. I just got to text them back here. And what was that noise? Oh, no.
Out the humanity. Please, my spleet. Please get out my spleet.
One praying mantis that'll never pray again. All right, I'll just take...
Tell my wife I love her.
Yeah, okay, all right. I'll just take the poor mangled body. I'm just going to take you to Coach Crean, okay? And wow, I have never heard a praying mantis use profanity like that. Okay.
We'll leave Brian and the former praying mantis now and turn our attention to Jennifer Cannon. Jennifer is a mild-mannered person who seldom calls attention to herself. But she does have a tendency to buy large numbers of expensive shoes. And when the money's gone, she reports to her job at the city of Bloomington, where she runs the Bureau to Confuse Traffic Patterns and Torment Drivers. You always knew they had one, didn't you?
Hey guys, I'm back. Jen, good to see you. Hey, those parking meters you recommended have been an unqualified success. Everyone's screaming, and we're making a huge pile of money.
Oh, did you put them in confusing places where people can't tell which meter goes with which car, like I said?
Oh, yeah. And it's working great. People are losing their minds over this. It was inspired, Jen, just inspired.
So what great ideas do you have for us now?
Well, I was thinking about that. You know how the students will be going on vacation pretty soon, and then they'll all be coming back at the exact same time, right?
Right.
So let's say we close off 10th Street and 3rd Street just before they leave and make sure that whatever we decide to do won't be finished until at least a week after they come back.
Oh. That's great. I'll get right on it.
And we should change the bus routes so that buses only make left turns. Oh, I also see a traffic circle on Kirkwood, right by the sample gates. That should cause a few heart attacks.
Oh, Jen, you're a genius.
I know.
It's been really inspirational working with you over the past few years.
Mm-hmm. Oh, meters on the benches at People's Park.
Oh, yes. And
I might add that with her job of assigning microphones to actors during the Follies, Jen has considerably increased our show's revenue.
Hey, which mic am I supposed to put the quarters in?
Well, this one over here is blinking red.
Yeah, but I'm talking on this one.
Well, just put some quarters in, or you're going to have to pay a fine.
Hey, move over. I just put 3 quarters in that mic. It's mine.
That's it. It's 4:59, and you're listening to WFHB, Community Radio for Bloomington and South Central Indiana, at 91.3 and 98.1 FM. The Firehouse Follies is made possible by support from Ivy Tech Community College, the Bloomington Arts Commission, Cordell Construction, and the Summer House Inn.
You are old, Father William, the young man said, and your hair has become very white. And yet you incessantly stand on your head. Do you think at your age it is right? In my youth, Father William replied to his son, I feared it might injure the brain, but now that I'm perfectly sure I have none, I do it again and again. You are old, said the youth, as I mentioned before, and have grown most uncommonly fat. Yet you turned a back somersault in at the door. Pray, what is the reason for that? In my youth, said the sage as he shook his gray locks, I kept all my limbs very supple by the use of this ointment, 1 shilling the box. Allow me to sell you a couple. You are old, Father William. Your jaws are too weak for anything tougher than suet. Yet you finish the goose with the bones and the beak. Pray, how did you manage to do it? In my youth, said his father, I took to the law and argued each case with my wife. And the muscular strength that it gave to my jaw has lasted the rest of my life. You are old, said the youth. One would hardly suppose that your eye was as steady as ever, yet you balance an eel at the end of your nose. What made you so awfully clever? I have answered 3 questions, and that is enough, said his father. Don't give yourself airs. Do you think I can listen all day to such stuff? Be off, or I'll kick you downstairs.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're all familiar with the heroes and heroines of radio, TV, and the movies. Now, though, we'd like for you to focus your attention briefly on another group of people, the folks who made our favorite heroes possible, the sidekicks. And we join them now at their annual Sidekicks Convention at the Bloomington Convention Center.
Come on now. Yeah, just shut up for a minute here, Galdurns. Well, that's better. Okay now, I'm Gabby Hayes, and I'm in charge of this here shindig. Now we're just getting a bunch of the old sidekicks together to celebrate the old days. I'm sorry if I'm kind of hard to understand. I can't get my new teeth because my insurance policy was done up and canceled on me. And I'm sorry we have to meet in such a small room, but the city decided not to build a new convention center. Now, first off, I got this. I just want to say this to y'all. And that's Frenet, and it's in a Frenet Gill, and a Frenet Gill, and a Frenet Gill, and Frenet Gill, and Frenet and Cyril, and Frenet Cyril, and Cyril, or the Cyril, and a Frenet Cyril. Let the happy hour begin!
Hey, Robin, long time no see.
Well, holy curvaceousness, Gabriel. Good to see you. And Natasha, you're looking ravishing. Do you have any ideas what Gabby was talking about?
No, he's almost as hard to understand as Moose.
Yeah, I don't have a clue either. He's just one of those authentic guys from the Old West. I remember once Zena and I came across this guy talking nonsense. It was all Greek to us.
Whatever happened to Zena? I heard she got a job as a bouncer at the Hard Rock Parthenon.
Yeah. Yeah, but she beat up so many people, the club got sued. So she took a job as an insurance claims adjuster. She had so many years of swinging that sword around that arthritis finally got her, and she wound up in the home for aging heroes. They'd never had a woman there before, but they were afraid to turn her down. She still had a mean kick.
The Home for Aging Heroes? Well, that's where Batman hangs out now.
I always heard that Bloomington was a retirement destination.
Oh, yeah. Haven't you seen the ads? A super town for superheroes. They've been having problems with Superman, though. Ever since he saw Cool Hand Luke, he's been going around tearing the heads off parking meters.
What we have here is a failure to pay the alligator.
Yeah, but Boris is in the same place. He had so many concussions from falling off cliffs and being blown up that he's confused. Doesn't know if he's good guy or bad guy now.
That's sad. How's Batman doing?
Oh, not so good, I'm afraid. He had to punch a bunch of new holes in his utility belt. He has to use bat depends. And he ran the Batmobile into the neighbor's swimming pool.
I always knew you were the brains of that outfit.
I was. I figured everything out. But all they let me say was stuff like, "Holy ashtray, Batman, this thing's really smoking." It wasn't fair.
Well, you think your gig wasn't fair? How about me? All I ever got to say was, "Hey, Wild Bill, wait for me."
Well, Jingles, you pair up with a guy named Wild Bill Hickok, and what do you expect? You know the fair-haired boys always get the good lines.
Yeah, and that's not all they get. You think after all those years of slaving for Marshall Dillon that did I ever get a girl? Oh, no. He got Miss Kitty, and what did good old Chester get? He didn't get nothing but a blow-up doll.
Yeah, at least I got to kiss Xena a few times.
You people clean up this skit before I throw the whole lot of you in the hoosegow.
And people have hinted that there was an improper relationship between me and Mr. Dillon. Can you imagine? We were manly Western men.
You not know what Kemosabe really means?
Tonto, good to see you, buddy. About the only thing you ever got to say was "get him up, Scout." And that was after you'd rescued the Lone Ranger and brought him back to health and saved his life about a zillion times.
And it made me talk like this. Kemosabe, Tonto go town. Watch for Batman. Get beat up. You go impress Blonde Chick.
Oh, come on. You never said anything like that.
I wanted to. Then they made that new movie about us with the guy who played me with some dipstick with a bird in his hair.
Yeah, that was an insult. So what happened to the Lone Ranger up to now?
He got so old he couldn't get on his horse anymore, so he took a job in a bank. They put him in the lending department, and they called him the Lone Ranger. I got a loan from him and started my own business. It's called Tonto Silver Bullet, and I've done pretty well.
And where is Lone Ranger now?
He lost his job when the banks were being bailed out, and he had to move in to the home for aging heroes.
Oh, yeah, that's where Marshall Dillon is now. He never recovered after Miss Kitty decided to become a nun.
Wild Bill's there, too. I hear they have some real fights in the lounge over what old TV show they're going to watch.
No one ever thinks about us sidekicks anymore.
If Boris had only listened to me, we would have finished off stupid Moose and Squirrel and be on Easy Street now.
You guys think you had it bad? I can see you don't know anything about a dog's life.
Lassie, is that you? Well, you look different.
Ah, well, that's because I got a trim and you're able to see the equipment now.
Watch your language there, dog.
They call me Lassie, so they had to hide the evidence. That's why I'm really male. I had to squat to, you get the idea. The indignity, and I had to save that stupid Timmy every time he fell down a well. You have any idea how many times, how many wells that harebrained kid fell into?
Must have been a lot.
762. And every time, I'd have to run off and tell people where he was. It never was fair. And here I was, a male dog in drag. And I'd have to pretend to adore the stupid bugger and then pantomime everything that had to be said because they wouldn't let me talk. I was the best actor on that show. Hey, is that a squirrel? Oh, I studied with Sam Shepard, you know.
Hey there, Lassie. How did Timmy turn out?
Rough. He's at the home for aging heroes. They've got him on a short leash. I hear he's fallen into the washing machine, the sink, and the toilet.
Oh, looks like Gabby's about ready to take the stage again. Sit, Lassie, sit.
If I could just get your goddamned attention. For a concerned minute now, pay attention here.
Sidekicks. I am Dr.
Dr. who?
Doctor? Huh? You idiot. Do I look like I'm 50 years old?
Huh?
That's right, old man. Doctor? Huh?
Who's huh?
Oh, shut up and listen.
Listen to who?
To huh? That's me. This is my microphone, Gabby One. I paid for it.
Ronnie, it's been a long time. How's things out in Death Valley?
Listen to me, you mush-mouthed, fuzzy-headed moron. I'm only going to say this once. I am Dr. Her, the meanest and nastiest arch-villain on the face of the earth. And I hate heroes, do you hear? Hate them! I'm going to shut them all down!
Oh, why didn't you say you was a member of Congress?
No, hey, I said I was a mean, nasty villain. I didn't say I was an idiot.
Then what are you doing in this script, huh?
Now, I'm here to give you the opportunity of a lifetime. I know how you all feel about heroes. You were the guys and girls who really took charge and made everything happen, right?
Right, huh?
And you never got any credit for it, right?
Right, huh?
Well, I'm here to give you the chance to ally with me in my fiendish but oh-so-glorious plan to get rid of all those heroes. I propose to rid the world of them once and for all.
And what if we aren't interested?
Then, young lady, I will be forced to rid the world of you, too. Think it over. I'll be back for your answer.
Well, listen, feller sidekicks, what should we do?
Well, I think we ought to sign up. Hey, Dr. Huh, wait for me.
Well, now, wait a minute, guys. We're not the Tea Party. We can't do that.
So, if we don't go with him, how are we going to go against him? Anyone got any ideas?
Well, easy. We just,
We could,
Well, maybe if we just,
No.
Well, let's just face it. We're sidekicks. We're not the ones with the ideas and the plans. I guess we're going to have to get ourselves the leaders or something. We're going to have to find somebody.
But who? We're just sidekicks here.
Oh, okay, okay. It's obvious. It's time for me to take over. I'm the only one here who ever had top billing, right? Right? Remember, I was actually the hero of that show.
What is it, Lassie? What are you trying to say, girl?
Help, 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 Lassie, help.
All right. First, being a dog, I can clearly tell that the one who calls himself Dr. Huh disappeared through this air duct. Someone has to follow him, overhear him discussing his plans, and come back and report.
Sidekick's good at overhearing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and bad guys love discussing plans.
Yeah, yeah, okay, okay. Natasha, you're small and creepy. You climb into this duct and follow him. Then come back here and report.
Right, Lassie. I go now.
Okay.
Oof. Oh, tight fit. I'm not as skinny as I used to be. But how could cartoon character gain weight? I guess radio adds 5 pounds. I'll just crawl down this way.
Okay, all right. We've got to get organized here. I want Tonto and Gabby to be my chief deputies.
But that's not fair. I was a deputy on the show.
And what about me? I was Mr. Dillon's deputy.
Lassie, Gabby's missing.
Not missing. Where's he gotten off to?
Holy baby Lindbergh, Lassie. Do you think Dr. Huh's kidnapped him?
That might be. But I've got my suspicions.
Hey, there's light up there. Looks like room of some kind. I better be careful.
Tony,
Yes, Master. Did things go well?
All went according to plan, Toady. The sidekicks will never get organized. And then we can take care of the heroes. Then we will take care of the sidekicks.
Oh, boss. Oh, I love it when you laugh like that. Do it again, boss, please.
Oh, very well. It does sound a bit creepy, doesn't it?
Oh, boss, did anyone suspect who you really are?
Of course not, Toady. They think they're dealing with Dr. Huh. Little do they know that when I take my teeth out...
I'm really that sidekick, Gabby. Finally, after all these years, I'm going to get my revenge on them nincompoops who always got the leading roles.
No poop jokes.
Boss, you got in trouble for saying poop. You're so brilliant. Tell me again, what are we going to do?
I've told you about 100 times, you cretin.
Oh, thanks, boss. Just tell me once more, pretty please. Oh, thanks, boss.
I might as well. It's such a great plan, it amuses me to discuss it. Do you have the blue pills?
Oh, yeah, right here, boss.
Those are reality-enhancing pills, Toady. When we put them into the Home for Aging Heroes water tank, everyone will ingest them, and immediately they will come to understand their own realities. That they're not heroes anymore. They'll pine away to nothing in no time and die of broken hearts.
Oh, boss, that is so mean. It is beautiful.
Beautiful? Oh, done it just a concern minute there, Toady. It ain't just beautiful. It's darn tootin' plum genius. They'll be sorry they give me all them stupid lines.
But boss, what are we going to do about all the sidekicks? I mean... You already got a sidekick, boss. You don't need more.
That's right, Toady. You're my sidekick. We're going to get rid of all those fools, too.
Oh, good. How, boss? How are we going to do it, huh? How are we going to...
Idiot.
Oh, thanks, boss.
We'll use the orange pills.
Not the orange pills.
Yes, the orange pills. Those are self-esteem blockers. We'll put them in the beer at the sidekicks convention, and they'll all lose their self-esteem. Since they're sidekicks, they already have pretty low self-esteem as it is. They won't be able to face life any longer, so they'll tie themselves to the railroad tracks and be squashed.
Oh, boss, I can't wait. This has got to be your greatest, most evilest plot yet.
I've heard enough. This sounds very serious. I've got to get back to Lassie. He'll know what to do.
We're all okay, folks. Okay, all right.
We have to assume that... did you see that bird? Okay, we have to assume that is going to make a move against the Home for Aging Heroes, right? So we'll need to have a good defensive perimeter in place. I'll mark the territory. Tonto, keep your ear to the ground, but not where I've marked it. Okay. You can hear things coming before anyone else. Chester!
Lassie, this is serious. They're going to feed the heroes reality-enhancing pills. Then they'll be coming after us. You'll never believe who Dr. Huh really is.
Dr. Huh is really Gabby, right?
How did you know that?
Dogs have sixth sense. You can't hide from your dog.
Holy food bowl, Lassie. I'm impressed. What do you want me to do?
I've been working out a plan. Natasha, yeah. Does Dr. Huh have a sidekick?
Yes, some guy called Toady. Yes, okay. He's kind of cute.
All right. You seduce Toady.
Okay.
Then give him one of those reality-enhancing pills. That should make him want to work for us. Okay. Robin, look at this map here. There's an old well right here. Yeah, okay. And now, Gabriel, you're going to show a little thigh on this one, okay? Jester, you and Jingles create a diversion. Robin, swing down from this tree and kick Dr. Huh so he winds up being trapped in the well. And someone throw a frisbee for me. Oh, my God. Okay, sorry. Okay, once we've got him in the well, I'll take over.
I know all about how to deal with people trapped in old wells.
You can count on us, Lassie. Come on, sidekicks, let's roll.
All right, Toadie. There's the home for aging heroes. I'll wait here while you go scout things out.
Oh, thanks, boss. Toadie loves to scout. I got all the badges. I'll be right back.
Okay. Okay. Okay, Natasha. Yeah. All right. There goes Toadie. Do your thing.
He will not be able to resist my charms.
Whatever you say.
Hello, big boy. You're kind of cute. Would you like to be Natasha's special friend?
Ah, yeah. Oh, Toadie likes friends. But Toadie busy now on important mission for boss. Toadie be your friend later.
No, later will be too late. Are you glad to see me? Or is that a bottle of pills in your pocket?
It's a bottle of pills. Sorry. Today, Toadie glad to see such a beautiful woman.
Toadie. Let's say we each take one of those pillars and then go into the woods and see what comes up.
Hey, innuendo is definitely not allowed.
If beautiful lady thinks it's okay, Toadie, try one.
Gulp.
Well, gadzooks. Why, the world is different now. I see the error of my ways. Why, I don't have to be Toadie for Dr. Hunt anymore. I'm smarter than he, and I don't need to talk funny either. Glorious day, I am liberated. To you, thanks to you, beautiful woman, and now I can use my own name.
What is your own name?
Humperdink.
Oh, such a beautiful name, Humperdink. I'm Natasha Fatal. Let's be friends.
I would like that. I wonder what's going on with Dr. Huh, though.
Meanwhile, near the abandoned well.
Where's Toadie? Has something gone wrong? I'd better go see what's happening.
Good-looking. Oh. You want some of this?
Young lady, if you don't cover yourself quickly, you'll freeze to death.
Hey, buddy, you stay away from my girlfriend, you hear?
What? Your girlfriend?
Yeah, that's what I said.
Your girlfriend? That's my girlfriend.
Oh, I don't think so.
I'll take care of you, buddy.
Now, Robin.
Holy wrecking ball! Oh, oh. Help! I've fallen down a well. In case you couldn't tell from the sound effects. Toadie, come save me.
My apologies, former employer, but Natasha and I are going off to start a new life together.
Where is Lassie when you really need him?
Lassie, come save me, Lassie. I'll give you doggy treats.
Sorry.
Jerky from China,
no
something.
Way. Oh, Dr. Ho, should I say Gabby? My days of getting people out of the wells are rover.
But you have to save me. It's in the sidekick's code, paragraph 12, subentry B. It clearly says, always save people who have fallen down a well.
Yeah, but I can't read. Okay. We'll save you. But first, take your teeth out. Swallow one of your own pills.
All right.
Chuck them down to him, Humperdink.
All right. Good sight. Now I can see reality. And it's telling me that I ain't nothing but a sidekick after all. God damn it, I'm that funny gentleman, and funny, and it's funny, and it's funny, and funny, and it's funny.
I see that Gabby's back.
Okay, guys. Pull him out of the well, and let's go back to the old and undersized convention center and have a beer. We won't bother anyone around here. We can let sleeping heroes lie.
Well, we might as well. They told enough lies when they were heroes.
Holy Beerstein, guys. Where's Tano?
Oh, look. I forgot all about him. He must still be at the listening post.
Tonto have ear to ground like Lassie say, but can hear only traffic on I-69. Hey, guys, wait for me.
Hey, Tonto, that's my line.
Ladies and gentlemen, the WFHB Gospel Girl.
I'm the music inside your soul, more precious to you than diamonds, more precious than gold. I'm your lover, as true as two can be. And if you ever need a friend, you can count on me. I've carried this babe I've born, means the world to me. When my baby's grown out there on her own, she will never be alone. She can count on me. And the river keeps rising, I will be right by your side. You can count on me. I've let so many people down, they didn't want me around. I'm older now and I understand, it takes an open heart to lend a hand. Ooh. Ooh. So if you find yourself sinking low, no matter what you do, well, remember you can count on me. Like I count on you, let it pull you through. Count on me. Count on me. Count on me. You can count on me. And if the bridge breaks and the river rising, I will be right by your side. You can count on me. And if the bridge breaks and the river keeps rising, I will be right by your side. You can count.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
This is my little Merry Christmas wish to you. Well, I bet you thought that I was gonna miss you. I bet you thought I might have got lost. And don't you know, if not for little sister, I might have gotten my wires crossed. But I didn't. I didn't because I'm Santa Claus.
That's right.
I'm Santa Claus, understood? I'm Santa. That's Claus.
And that's good.
I brought my bag and a treat for you. The reindeer gang and Rudolph too. I got rockets for the brothers, the sisters got games. I even brought a toy for what's his name? Yes, I did. I did because I'm Santa Claus.
That's right.
I'm the man in red with the hood. I'm Santa. That's Claus.
And that's good.
Well, nobody knows about my secret device, but I always know who's been naughty and nice. And though I love sweets as a general rule, I'm absolutely, positively, terminally cool.
That's right.
I am, because wouldn't you grab this gig if you could? I'm Santa. That's Claus, and that's good. Let me tell you, children, you just got to believe. You got to give your love if you want to receive. And if you do, no matter how far away, I'm going to get to you on Christmas Day. Yes, I will. I will, because I'm Santa Claus.
That's right.
I'm a pastry-loving wizard of brotherhood. I'm Santa. That's Claus.
And that's good.
Yeah. Oh, I'm Santa. Wouldn't you grab this gig if you could? I'm Santa. That's Claus.
And that's good.
We return you now to our blockbuster new hit, Unusual Suspects Wars. By now, you're wondering about another one of our cast members, Mr. Mike Leonard. As you may know, Mike spent years working first for the Herald Cell Phone, then Boom Magazine, as a part of his strategy to land a job on USA Today. And friends, he finally succeeded. Yeah. After he spent all the money from his last Follies appearance to expand his collection of Three Stooges ties and red and white striped trousers, Mike reported to his new job.
Oh boy, it's really USA Today. I can't wait. I hope I get to work in the pie chart department.
Yeah, who is it? Come on in. Who are you, kid?
Mr. Editor, sir, I'm Mike. I'm your new intern. Remember, you hired me over $8 Budweiser's at Night Moves last night?
You're the one with the big, the copy boy. The copy boy. Look, kid, I've got to be upfront with you here.
What is it, sir?
All the production at USA Today is done digitally. We don't need no copy boy to carry copy or check our grammar or nothing. Computer does it all and corrects speech if we make them errors, and I'll fix real time in and, wait a minute. All right, that should take care of it. Sometimes you just gotta slap the computer silly. It fixes our mistakes, is what I was saying, in real time.
Well, what will I do then?
Anything anyone tells you to do. We hired you to be a general servant. We have to call you a copy boy so we don't get in trouble with the union, you know. So go over there and make me a latte.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Here you are, sir. One latte.
Yeah, all right. Hey, okay, this ain't bad. Now sweep up the joint. Go over and clean up the commode. And be careful in there. I was a bit sickly this morning. Too much booze last night.
Okay, the sweeping's done. I'll go into the commode now. And, holy cow, this is awful. Oh, God, the stench of popular journalism. The job of my dreams is turning out to be a real nightmare. I just wish they'd let me make one pie chart.
Hey, kid. Kid, make us an apple pie for coffee break, okay?
Well, that's a start anyway.
As Mike wakes up on the wrong side of his dream job, let's turn our attention to Mark Scrapper Blackwell. You may or may not know this, but Mark is the only person left on the Monroe County Protected Residence List. And that's because he is, in fact, the last living native of Monroe County. And as soon as the Follies episode is completed, he gets his check and finds a high-stakes poker game.
Oh, I knew I shouldn't have called with nothing but a pair of threes. Well, at least I made it through four hands this time.
After he loses all his money, he goes to the Monroe County Historical Society Museum, where he works as an interactive exhibit on the lives of the native Monroe Countyans. The museum directors decided it would be safer to have Scrapper pose as a robot behind a Kevlar shield after an unfortunate incident when a small child kicked him in the shin and bit his finger.
Darn burn kids. They don't know why their parents don't give them any discipline these days.
Oh, look, Mommy. It's a robot.
That's right, dear. If you push that button, it will explain how people used to live in Monroe County before we all came out from the cities and took over.
Can I push the button, Mommy? Please?
Go ahead, dear. That's what it's there for.
In the early days of Monroe County, there were no televisions and no computers. Residents were forced to light oil lamps, such as the one you see here, so they could read at night.
Why didn't they just use their iPads or their Nooks? They have plenty of light.
Well, you just shut up, kid, and listen. This was before there were electronic devices. Why, when we were young, there weren't no video games. We had to go outside and kick dead raccoons around for fun.
But Mommy says it isn't safe to go outside and play. She says there's too much traffic.
Yeah, well, the only traffic we had in Monroe County back in them days was horse-drawn carts, and once in a while, maybe a Model T Ford. Yeah, you kids today, you got things too soft. We had to walk 5 miles to school and 5 miles back home again through snow every single day, and it was uphill both ways. We had to memorize the telephone numbers, and we knew how to get places without talking to some darn box. And don't even get me started on the dinosaurs.
Mommy, this robot's scaring me. Can I smash it with a hammer?
No, dear. This is a very expensive piece of equipment, and Mommy doesn't want to pay for it. Let's go on home now, and you can kill some aliens with your zircon-encrusted XYZ box.
Stupid robot.
Yeah, stupid kid. Stupid parents. I need to find some good hooch in a poker game.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome back to the stage, Michael Smith.
Oh, Mr. Tut, what good's it do? They love your chair, but nobody cares for you. Egyptian nights were never colder. All your friends are thousands of years older. Whatever happened to that gang down by the Sphinx? Seems they're only 40 winks away. Those girls from Cairo with their belly button jewels made you play the fool yesterday, yesterday. And now you keep in shape with Elmer's glue, 'cause you're all wrapped up in them dead Egyptian blues. Dead Egyptian blues, that's the name of this tune. Dead Egyptian blues. Oh, Mr. Tut, they love the mask, but do they love you, honey, sweetheart? Don't ask. Where's those baby browns and that pearly smile that smile drove them wild by the early night? You make one terrific hieroglyphic, don't you, bro? Centuries of standing sideways turned you to a pro. Those girls from Cairo who filled your heart with lust, they've all turned to dust yesterday. Yesterday, and those bandages didn't do that much for you. Man, you're all wrapped up in them dead Egyptian blues. Dead Egyptian. Oh, Mr. Tut, they dig the tomb. Yeah, all that gold leaf brightens up a room. But what's the diff when you're stiff? What riff they're playing? When your ears have spent 5,000 years decaying. What does it matter what possessions you may boast when you are just a ghost? It's only jive, Clive. Your sarcophagus is glowing, but your esophagus is showing. Who cares how rich you are, love, when you look like Boris Karloff? And they even named this dog food after you. And you're all wrapped up in those dead Egyptian blues. Oh, Mr. Tut, you wait and see. Another few thousand years they're gonna dig up me. And I'll have all my little treasures near at hand. A CD of Sergeant Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. Little dried out Maui Waui crumbled in a bong. A letter from my honey saying, love your kids so long. Some peanut butter sandwiches and a long return to sand. Not much gold or silver, but I think you'll understand. In my way, I'll be just like you. All wrapped up in them dead Egyptian blue. All wrapped up in them dead Egyptian blues. Did you say all wrapped up? All wrapped up? All wrapped up in those dead Egyptian blues. Roger Maris, from Fargo I come. And it's not like me to be showing off in the words of some fool's song. But you know that there's a number that when all is said and done, belongs to me and only me. And that number is 61. Yeah, 61 homers for you, and everyone a thrill. I did what God gave me to do, without a needle or a pill. When you stood up in those bleachers, cheering each and every run, that was God and me, not a pharmacy.
who gave you 61? You can say my name in Fargo, and folks are always kind. I heard that cheer go up from the barber shop when the Yanks retired number 9. Yeah, I had to die before my time, but you can save your pity, huh? For the muscle-bound clown sticking holes in himself, chasing number 61. I got a game this afternoon, so that's all I'll have to say. You get the point, or else you don't. Whatever, it's okay. Just as long as you keep that record straight, straight as I stood in the sun. From Cooperstown to Heaven's Gate, that record still is 61. Yeah, from Cooperstown to Heaven's Gate, that record still is 61.
Thank you. What a pleasure to play on this show. It's really fun. Thank you, folks. One more, and then I'm done. I'm thrilled to be here. See if we can do it.
One day, a beautiful princess was walking on the bog. On a slab of peat, who should she meet but Fred the Talking Frog? Well, the top of the morning to you, lass. Hello, hello, cries he. I'd be glad, you know, if you'd stop a mo and listen close to me. I see I've been bewitched and I'm needing a royal miss, such as your lovely self, to give this ugly mug a kiss. Such a metamorphosis will then ensue, I'll tell you true, for I'm really a farmer prince, and I'll straightway marry you. To me, rightful, rightful, Johnny Godarum, hickety pickety, down and around to me, I love Harum Escarum, riding the Worcester Quenbury, ton to me, toady, toady, Truman Capote, driving the Sligo with Molly O'Shea, to dance by the sea with a right cup of tea and a bleary Sunday morning.
Sing along.
Well, I heard that song and the dance before, Sister Princess, it's all fine. But if it's a kiss you're after, the chances you'll have to stand in line. There's frogs outside me father's castle, frogs in the royal hall. Frogs is climbing up the chimney, frogs is bouncing off the wall. And frogs is floating on the moat and up the stairs and on the shelf. If I had to kiss every one of you, Jesus, I'd have no time to myself. Ah, let's make it swift, laddie, lately falls the hour. And I'm due back home from me evening shift of pining in the tower. To me rightful, rightful, Johnny Godarum, higglety picklety, down in her under me, I low Harum and Scarum, riding all Worcester Quinbury, turn to me, toady, toady, Truman Capote, faith in me, Garrett's Morgan O'Hara, driving a Sligo with Molly O'Shea, to dance with the sea with a right cup of tea and a bleary Sunday morning.
You're getting it.
Well, she's just about to kiss him when Mrs. Frog come hopping by. crying Fred, you're late for supper. Coming, dear, was his reply. You mean he's not bewitched? The princess is just odd, says Mrs. Frog. And into kissing princesses he meets upon the bargain. Oh, I love me, Fred the Fury, chafes at family ties. I'd invite you home for supper, me dear, but we only have two flies. Thank God you didn't kiss him. This was your lucky day. Till I kissed Fred, I was a princess too. That's how I got this way. To me, rightful, rightful, Johnny Goddard, and Minklety Pinklety, down and around me. I love Haram Scar and riding the waters to Coventry, Tom to me, Toady, Toady, true and Gabody, Faith and Vigar is Morgan Hour. Work to the Herald, it's Barry Fitzgerald, we're driving a Sligo with Molly O'Shea, to dance by the sea with a Guinness in me, while it's beery Sunday morning. To me, Toady, Toady, true and Gabody, Faith and Vigar is Morgan Hour. Work to the Herald, it's Barry Fitzgerald, all in the Volkswagen with Victor McClockin, we're driving a Sligo with Molly O'Shea, to dance by the sea with an LSD, Timothy Leary, Sunday morning.
Michael Smith brought 5 CDs, so first 5 out there get to buy them. And now I'd like to get back to the Unusual Suspects just for a minute. It's time for a look at Tony Brewer. You'd almost forgotten about Tony Brewer, hadn't you? No, you can't do that. Tony actually lives a very quiet life and doesn't often need to work between shows. He took a part of the considerable fortune he's made here on the Firehouse Follies and bought a house out in the woods where he lives in isolation with his loyal cat, Wilberforce.
Meow, meow, meow.
And spends most of his time
meow.
In the workshop inventing ever new sound effects.
It's true.
He's come up with a pretty good one that involves a guy being chased by wolves, then eaten by a bear. And he wants us to put that in a script.
Yeah. It's right in there.
So we just did. After every show, Tony goes up to the roof of the Ivy Tech Waldron building, to the helipad, takes off for his wooded retreat.
Ow, hoo, hoo, hoo. Ow, hoo, 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 ah.
Wilberforce, like all cats,
meow.
Is delighted to see him when he
meow.
Gets back
meow.
And demands a piece of steak. After a good meal and a glass of some of the wine that he bought from Becky's staff, he reads a good night story to Wilberforce.
And that's the end.
And the two of them turn in early. But recently this pattern was broken. Tony's private smartphone rang. And his caller was a representative of Bloomington City Government.
Yeah, hello? What's that? Bloomington's going to open a zoo? Oh, okay, I see. A petting zoo. Oh, but you can't use real animals because people would protest, right? Oh, wait, so you want me to do what? Oh, I think I get it. You want me... You're opening a virtual petting zoo, and you want me to supply sound effects for various animals. Well, sure, I can do a kangaroo. Yeah, one that's been tied down. Yeah, sure, whatever. Oh, praying mantis? No problem, count me in.
So, Tony and Wilberforce got to work.
Meow.
Wilberforce, of course, supplied the voice for the common house cat.
Meow.
Also for the leopard.
Meow.
And the lion. Then the tiger. Tony himself worked up a good rattlesnake. And then a cobra. After that, of course, he had to have a mongoose.
Honk, man!
And then had to stage a fight between the mongoose and the cobra.
Honk, man!
Then, of course, there was the llama.
Meh, meh, meh.
Which got along very well with the praying mantis.
Yeah, that's right, buddy. That's a lovely sweater you got on there.
Tony did sheep.
Meh, meh.
Mountain goats.
Meh, meh, meh.
A moose.
Moose.
And a flying squirrel.
That trick never works, Bullwinkle. That...
And perhaps his greatest accomplishment, which was a chorus of praying mantises chirping out Silent Night.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright.
And that's why every time, yes, every time that you visit
the... Chorus of one.
Every time you visit the virtual petting zoo, you should voice your gratitude to Mr. Tony Brewer, our sound effects genius. And now, ladies and gentlemen, if you would just strap in your seatbelts here, and welcome Arbutus Cunningham.
Snow in November in southern Indiana, and how astonished we were. All those shifts and expedients we acquired last year, forgotten by April. What is this stuff? Where are all those 99-cent ice scrapers we bought? In the basement? Under the front seat? Stashed in the trunk? Martha? Martha, where's all the scrapers? I don't know, Tucker. You put them away. Just use the spatula, why don't you? Oh, the mad scramble for something to scrape ice. Virgil Bland used an empty CD case that had once housed Bob Marley's Burning. It worked okay till he hit a thick crinkled patch on the rear window. No woman, no cry. And where did the gloves go? Did they just disappear? Gloves so often melt away in spring, or are eaten by the dreaded thorn-backed glove cruncher. Wretched beast, it lives behind the washing machine. Bits of dryer fluff and strands of yarn trail from its shiny, spiny teeth. Vera Corlett scrounged out two, not a pair, one old rag wool mitt all pilled and pulled, and a short, one-size-fits-your-first-grader, purple with fuchsia polka dots. Yes, neighbors, the first snow, a short, sharp shakeout. Summer is over. Now we are in the time of frozen pipes, the time of cold feet, the time of there's a hole in my parka, the frost is on the pumpkin, and a mouse is nesting in the pack boots. We know about winter, really we do. It's that seven-year stretch between the 1st of December and the middle of April. Happens every year. We do know this. In July, the knowledge is purely theoretical. Last week, it acquired strength and potency, a whole nother set of things to grumble about. Ice on the porch steps, wet wood, no wood, clogged flues, gray skies. It's dark at 7 in the morning. Dark again by 6 at night. What happened to all that daylight we saved from March to November? Neighbors, daylight savings time is a big fat Ponzi scheme foisted upon us by those rascals in the State House. You mark my words, in 2-3 years they will saddle us with mandatory individual retirement accounts. All the daylight we save, our personal daylight, carefully hoarded over months of denial and parsimony to brighten our golden years, will be siphoned off into those accounts and then plundered by evil monopolists who will somehow rig the daylight futures market to their own benefit. The whole thing will blow up and go bust, just like the housing bubble and the savings and loan debacle. Huge brokerage firms, having made bazillions trading and stealing our precious daylight, will be declared too big to fail. They will get enormous light subsidies, and we'll be all in the dark again. Get on out of here. Opal Anderson, she lives over down on Thornton. She read about a way to heat your house with tea lights and glass chimneys. She found it on the internet. Oh, she got real excited. Yes, it'll be warm and bright all winter. She went out to Big Lots, bought a bag of 100 tea lights and 9 glass chimneys, set them out on the kitchen table, the bookshelves, the cedar chest, the top of the chiffon robe, 2 on the plant stand flanking her Cissus rhombifolia. Oh, it was just lovely. Her tiny house glowed till the cat knocked a chimney askew and the curtains caught fire. Not exactly fire, more like smolder. Lots of nasty smoke, a stern lecture from the fire marshal, and a big mess to clean up. Neighbors, the internet can teach you how to turn a heel on a sock, how to make a teepee, how to build an explosive device of great force and potency, but it will not keep your house warm, your feet dry, or tell you where you stashed that pair of gloves you now so clearly need. We cannot go over, under, or around winter. We just have to live through it. Go on, dig out your long johns now, and may we all meet on the far shores of spring.
Well, that's our show for what now?
Listen up. This show was riddled with objectionable content, and if you think for 1 minute I'm going to let you back on the air, you've got another thing coming.
That's where you're wrong, Ms. Manners. Lady, I'm Elaine of Terror, and I say you can't stop us.
Big talk.
Oh, yeah, you think so? Take this. This. And this is what I'm going to do with your stupid whistle.
What? No, no.
This doesn't settle anything, Kelsey. I'll be back.
And that's our show for today, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks to our underwriters, Ivy Tech Community College, the Bloomington Arts Commission, and Cordell Construction. Thanks to Michael Smith for joining us today. And to the Gospel Girls, Kathy Norton, Suzette Weekly, Sarah Flint, Ginger Curry. The Powerhouse Rounders were Carolyn Dutton on fiddle, David Golias on guitar, Craig Brenner on piano, Danny Deckard on drums, and Neil Heidler on bass. The Unusual Suspects were Mark Blackwell, Jennifer Cannon, Richard Fish, Betty Greenwell, Mike Leonard, Brian Roberts, Becky Staff, and Hondo Thompson. Mr. Tony Brewer provided sound effects. Big thank you to Mr. Art Heckman today. Arbutus Cunningham appeared courtesy Arbutus Cunningham Industries. House sound was provided by Jim Lang, and radio sound by Jeffrey Sundog Morris. Our technical crew is made up of Marion Connedy, Ian Winningham, Catherine Anders, Dan Withard, Emily Jackson, and Caleb Winningham, serving as studio engineer. Catering by Scratch Incorporated. Today's show was written by Mr. Stuffinopagus and the residents of Occupy Sesame Street, home for Nearing and Over the Hill Riders. Stage manager was Dan G-Man Salvaggi. And our director was Richard Fish. The show was produced by Mike Kelsey. Our theme song is Firehouse Blues, written by Jason Fickle. For WFHB, I'm Dan Salvaggi, reminding you to save the date for March 23rd for the next WFHB Firehouse Folly.
And we return you now to your regularly scheduled programming.
Thank you all. You've been a wonderful audience.
Thank you.
Thank you.